Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated in the black for 7 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2015, we're $55,000 short of making expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of 2015.
It is clear that the two of them have, had gone down the dark path of radicalization, embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West.
Journalists don't like it when prayers are offered to a God that is different than their God. Their God is big government. They are very devoted followers.
And when you see the title of his book, The Power of I Am, I want you to remember that, that he is teaching a gospel where you are your own savior.
When every other hope fails, all the hopes and the dreams we make for ourselves, then we know that there is one whose promises to us do not fail.
Hello, my name is Dario, and I wanted to say that active duty soldiers absolutely love Issues, etc.
You would think that they couldn't do that. I mean, they wouldn't do that when preachers stand in the big box church and Sunday after Sunday, they take a text and they turn it around so that it's not about Jesus or even about, say, even generically God. It's about you. When they take Bible verse, Bible story after Bible verse and Bible story and make it about you, they couldn't do that with the Christmas story, could they? You wouldn't think that they would or that they would even attempt to do so. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're back live with you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's going to be This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough for the first half hour here. Pastor Chris Roseborough is going to talk about emphasizing the I in Christmas. A little bit later, Terry Mattingly will join us from the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. We'll talk about a Church of England advertisement that included a snippet of the Lord's Prayer rejected by British theaters. It was supposed to run during the box office premiere of Star Wars in that country. We'll find out why it was rejected and what was going on there. Our call-in number for the next hour with your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet, @issuesetc, the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, emphasizing the I in Christmas, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
More generally here, this is kind of something that maybe needs a little explanation. There's been a recent history of kind of the big box American churches not having Christmas Day services. And I guess this year Christmas is going to fall on a Friday. What's the reasoning behind this?
Well, the reasoning they always give is that, well, Christmas is an important family day. And so they don't feel that that they should impose on people's family days. And plus, the other excuse that they give is that, you know, the vision casting leaders of these big box churches, they have families as well. And it's important that they spend time with their family on the holiday. So that's the justification given for why they don't have Christmas Day services.
Well, we're going to be talking about how they approach the Christmas holiday. Of course, many of them have already started celebrating it even far in advance of Christmas with Christmas sermon series. And it's going to take us into an area that we've often discussed with you, Chris, and that is, you call it narcissism. What is it?
Narcissism is basically two words stuck together, narcissism and eisegesis. Eisegesis is a form of Bible twisting where you read things into the biblical text that are not there. And so narcissism is the reading of your own kind of self-love, if you would, you know, reading of yourself into the biblical text. And generally, during the other parts of the year, you'll see them do this with the story of like David and Goliath, or the story of Gideon. In the story of David and Goliath, it's the way narcissism works is you make yourself the hero of the story. I'm the hero of the story, so I'm David. And then whatever it is, the difficulty that you're facing in your life, that becomes your Goliath. And then the five smooth stones are your prayers or your piety or the things, the principles that you apply to your life in order to overcome and to slay your Goliath. But during the Christmas season, this starts to really, really show for what it is, because what you end up doing is making yourself the hero of, important stories, especially the nativity stories and about the birth of Christ. And it's absolutely fascinating and blasphemous all at the same time. And so today we're going to look at two different very popular seeker-driven vision-casting leaders from these big-box churches and their narcissism of these texts.
Well, the absolute master chef of narcissism, hands down, among all of them, has to be Stephen Furtick. Who is he, and what are we going to hear from him in this first cut?
Stephen Furtick is the vision-casting leader of Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. They're also a multi-site. And you're right, he is the king of the narcissists. And we're going to be listening to a portion of his Christmas service from last year, which I think is kind of like the exact quintessential example of how narcissism is done and what people should be looking for. If their pastor does what Stephen Furtick does, it's time for them to find another church, because it's clear that pastors like this are not pointing us to Jesus. And so we'll just kind of let him explain to us really what he thinks the most important thing is in the story of Jesus' birth from the Gospel of Luke.
I want to read the scripture from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, where it describes the birth of Jesus. It's interesting because Luke was a doctor, and so he knew a lot of details about the human body, but when he describes the birth of Jesus, he's relatively straightforward and simple. And I want to give you this scripture. It's just a couple of verses, maybe familiar, maybe you've never actually read it, but it just describes how Jesus was born. And I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. It'll be on the screens for you to follow along. The scripture says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Again, the greatest event in human history just summed up so simply, just like that. And yet I want to call your attention to something in verse 6. It seems simple on the surface, but it says that while they were there, they were going on their way. There was a census being taken, so they had to go to Bethlehem to register. But while they were going about their business, the scripture says the time came for the baby to be born. And I like that little phrase, "the time came," because to me it's a metaphor for how when God wants to do something in your life, he does it, and you may not always feel ready for him to do it. But just like he did it for Mary and Joseph, they didn't have a sonogram. They didn't know the due date. They were just doing their thing, going about their business. And then the scripture says the time came. And I wanted to let you know that I believe in my heart for a lot of people who have attended this Christmas experience at all of our locations today. I believe the time has come for something great that God wants to do in your life. The time has come.
So walk us through that, Chris. What did Stephen Furtick do?
Well, number one, he did not actually read for us the nativity narrative from Luke chapter 2. He read a couple of verses from it, and then he keyed in on really what he wanted to focus on. How can I make this about you? and not about Jesus. I don't think he thinks of it that way, but he's got to find a way to inspire the people there at Elevation. And so he keys in on the phrase, the time came, which, by the way, and the text itself, all that basically is referring to is the fact that, well, you know, Mary was pregnant, and her due date came. The time came for her to give birth. I mean, yes, the gestation period for our Messiah, for our Lord and Savior, had come to its terminus, and now it was time for him to actually be born. And so he takes the word, the time came, and you heard him say, I believe the phrase, the time came, is a metaphor for what God wants to do in your life, which kind of begs the question, did Luke, is the reason why God the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write the phrase, the time came, is that was really what the Holy Spirit was really pointing us to, was a metaphor for something that God wants to do in your life? And I would basically say that's preposterous on its face. It's absolutely insane. I mean, no solid biblical exegete, church father, or anybody in the entire history of Christianity until Stephen Furtick shows up on the scene has taken the phrase, and the time came for her to give birth, and then twisted it to be about you. Because just in the next verses, in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, it says, in the same region there were shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great joy. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. If he had just kept reading the narrative, he would have been able to preach the great news that was announced to the shepherds and which is announced to us, that on Christmas morning, Christ, our Savior, is born, the very one we need, the thing we need. We don't need God to, you know, say it's time for something great to happen in your life. What we need is a Savior. But that's not what Furtick is about. He's not about preaching Jesus. He is about preaching himself and preaching you and scratching itching ears, which is one of the reasons why he has such a large church, because he does a very good job of making people feel good about themselves, but not preaching the thing that they need to hear, and that is that they need to hear that they're sinners, and that this Christmas, and just like the Christmas of 2,000 years ago, God sent a Savior. And that's the one we need, because this baby who's born of the virgin already upon his birth is on his way to the cross to die for our sins. But that is not something that's not a message that's going to build a multinational, internationally recognized megachurch that's growing by leaps and bounds. Instead, Furtick has to make it about them and scratch their itching ears in order to, you know, to draw a huge crowd and keep them coming. And that's exactly what he did, and he ended up twisting the nativity narrative so bad. I mean, to say it borders on blasphemous would be wrong. It is absolutely blasphemous what he did with that text.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about examples of emphasizing the I in Christmas. When we come back, we'll go on to some other examples of this kind of particular twisting of Scripture so that it always points, oddly enough, right back to you instead of Jesus.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. For unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. Adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com.
Standing Firm in a Hostile World is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you are in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. faithlutheransa.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Wednesday afternoon. Pastor Chris Roseboro, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest with This Week in Pop American Christianity, emphasizing the I in Christmas. Another example ahead here, Chris, and you've often pointed out that it's just standard fare. It's really their meat and potatoes for Pop American Christianity preachers to take an element from pop culture and build a sermon series around it. What are we going to hear in that vein?
Yeah, this is interesting. This is the next two sound bites are going to be from Bill Cornelius, who's Vision Casting Leader of Church Unlimited in Corpus Christi, Texas. And Bill Cornelius is actually pretty high up in the ranks in the Seeker Driven Network, and it's now the Christmas season. They have no concept of Advent. It's now the Christmas season in the seeker-driven big box churches. And he's decided to draw on, kind of the big pop culture thing of the moment, which is the release of the upcoming Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, which is kind of weird if you think about it, because not only has the movie not been released, it's completely shrouded in secrecy. But what he's decided to do is, literally his stage is all decked out in Star Wars, and, he's got a big, galaxy backdrop behind him, and so the sermon series itself is using the Star Wars font. And so what he's decided to do is basically let the Force Awakens theme be kind of in the driver's seat of what it is that his messages are going to be during the Christmas season. And basically his idea is that by making his church all about Star Wars and pulling on that pop culture reference, it's somehow supposed to telegraph to the unbelievers out there that we care about the things that you care about. But really what he ends up doing is a bait and switch, because he opens a sermon with like just a few minutes of Star Wars, and then pulls out his Bible and then proceeds to narcissize it, which is kind of fascinating. We can talk about the implications of he's gone through all this effort to get non-believers into his church, and then he doesn't even preach Christ, he preaches them. But the first soundbite will kind of show you what he does here, where he's talking about Star Wars and somehow making that the theme of his sermon, and then launches into a reading of the Nativity from the Gospel of Matthew.
I love the Star Wars franchise. It's so much fun to go watch these movies, And I think one of the things that draws us into these movies is the fact that there's a good versus evil. It's very clear, right? You're either on the dark side or you've got the Force with you, right? And so the Force, when we think about it, really, what would that be today? That would be the Holy Spirit. That would be God's power doing the right thing, fighting the good fight, as the Bible talks about that. So I want to help you today awaken to the divine destiny, the Force that is within you and all around you. So today I want to give you four basic principles based upon Mary and Joseph's life. And basically, these principles are how you can awaken to the divine destiny, to the force that is around you, and also once you receive Christ, is within you, leading you into the destiny that God has for your life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let's pick up on the story. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly.
Okay, so he's gotten into some of that. He's somehow made a bridge between Star Wars, the Force, and this. What's going on here, Chris?
Yeah, unfortunately, that bridge is on fire, and you don't want to step out onto it. It could be very perilous for you. So he's pulling on the pop culture reference, and basically has said what he's going to do is he's going to read the story of Mary and Joseph from the Gospel of Matthew, and then give them principles so that they can awaken the divine destiny within them. And he keeps referring to it as the Force, and which is bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre because, I mean, if you really understand the religious underpinnings of the Star Wars movies, it's not compatible with Christianity at all. George Lucas makes no bones about the fact that, you know, that the basic principle behind the Force has something to do with Buddhist ideas. You know, this is Buddhism. And so, I mean, he just completely glosses that, adopts their terminology, awaken the divine destiny and the force within you kind of thingy. And it's like, what is this man doing? So, I mean, from the word go, I mean, there, you know, with that kind of an introduction to a reading of the Christmas story from the Gospel of Matthew, you can know for sure you're not going to hear anything that even remotely approaches a sound handling of those texts that is going to exalt Christ in his saving office and God's, you know, and God becoming man and focusing on really truly the doctrine of the incarnation and, you know, for our sins and for our salvation. But, you know, he thinks it's all about there's principles that we can glean from this to apply. And so you too can find your divine destiny like Mary and Joseph did, which begs the question, now, what principles did those two apply so that they can awaken the divine destiny within them? I don't know.
So what are we going to hear next?
All right, so we're going to hear his kind of, you know, spinning out now, finishing the text, and then finding one of these important principles and really the application that you need to apply to your life so that you can awaken to the divine destiny within you.
And he will be called the Son of God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. Can I just say real quick, I love Mary's response. Wouldn't that be a great prayer for us all to pray every day? God, may everything you say about me come true. Isn't that a great prayer? May everything you say about me come true. Not what my cousin says, not what the person at work is talking bad about me, you know, in the break room, not what my boss is on my case says, not what maybe a parent that's not really honoring God says about me, not what my gym teacher says about how I'm, you know, uncoordinated, this, none of that. May what you say about me come true. Isn't that good? Because you are pregnant with potential, just like Mary was. You are. Turn to the person next to you right now and say, I'm pregnant. Let them know right now, just say, I'm pregnant. Some of you guys are like, I never thought I'd say that. I never thought I'd say that. But the truth is, we are all pregnant with destiny. All of us have God's destiny within us. And so Mary, right, she gets visited by an angel. Joseph has not been visited yet by an angel. So he's like, what's going on? This is crazy. This is not how I planned it. You ever felt that way? You ever say that in your life? This is not how I planned it. I didn't expect this to go down like this. How many of you guys have had that situation happen in your life yet? Like, I thought this was going to happen, and the deal fell through. And the promotion fell through. And the opportunity fell through. And the relationship fell through. And then they left me. And then I got betrayed. And I was laid off. And this didn't happen like I thought it was going to happen. I had an expectation, and it didn't get met. You ever had that? That's Mary and Joseph.
Wow, Chris. I mean, he managed to tell the Christmas story and just leave Jesus completely out of it altogether.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, if you could depict this with a nativity scene, there would be no baby Jesus. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know, what it is that we're literally listening to. And Mary, just let's get this out there. Mary was not pregnant with potential. Mary was pregnant with the God who spoke the universe into existence. But that doesn't really matter. So what happens is he's basically taken the Christmas story and turned it into a parable. It doesn't matter if it really actually happened. In this way of telling the scriptures, you don't actually need a historical Virgin Mary who really was a virgin who gave birth to Jesus, because he's turned this into Aesop's fables. So, you know, Mary was pregnant with potential, and you too are pregnant with potential, and she believed what the Lord said about her. You too need to believe what the Lord says about you, and you need to find your divine destiny, and just like you've experienced setbacks in your life, well, Mary and Joseph had setbacks in their life, and life didn't go the way they expected, and so this just shows you're on track and that God's really using you. So, you know, take heart and go and conquer the world and find your divine destiny, and you're off galloping down the destiny trail now, but Jesus is in your dust, basically sitting behind you, long, long way away now, you know, waving at you going, hello, I've come to save you and bleed and die for you. Does that mean anything to you at all? No, that person's off galloping down the road to go and do whatever they need to do, but you don't even need Jesus for this. I mean, this is just a bizarre thing that's happening in evangelicalism. For all their talk about wanting to bring people to Jesus, they never do talk about him and never use the texts that are about him to actually preach him. It's absolutely crazy.
With only about 30 seconds, Chris, it strikes me when he's done saying all this, he really has really explicated the religion of Star Wars more than anything remotely biblical or Christian.
Yeah, I think you're right. You will find no Jesus in Star Wars at all. And in the same way, you're not going to find Jesus in a Star Wars sermon at Bill Cornelius' church either. I mean, he might get an honorable mention, but he's not going to be the subject or the object of what it is that he's preaching about. It's going to be you, and really all about you. To use a metaphor from Star Wars, it's clear that pastors like this who narcissize these passages and take Jesus out, it's clear they've been seduced by the dark side and have succumbed to the evil emperor himself, the satanic lord Lucifer.
Chris, what's planned tonight for Fighting for the Faith?
Tonight we're going to be listening to a great teaching by Pastor Jeremy Rohde on the book of Ecclesiastes and its implications for these dream destiny doctrines.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City about a Church of England advertisement that was supposed to run during the box office open of Star Wars in Great Britain. Great opportunity to advertise the Church of England. Had a snippet of the Lord's Prayer in it, and the theater owners rejected it. They are concerned about treating everyone equally and some other concerns that we'll discuss with Terry Mattingly right after this.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Just as God commanded his son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.